You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's talk to Mitch Lawrence, though, of NBA Radio, Forbes, and Sporting News. There's a lot going on, as usual. Hey, Mitch.
Scott, I've been watching the Home Run Derby. I'm going to tell you what. The Home Run Derby is easy. To me, it surpasses the NBA All-Star Saturday night dunking and three-point shooting. I mean, Judge, what he did, unbelievable tonight.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It's pretty cool. Hey, so let me ask you. I just said earlier on the show, I love these summer league games. People are like, oh, should they not play because these guys are getting injured? You know, I play a lot of ball, Mitch, as you know, and I said I play ball Tuesday and Wednesday nights on back-to-back nights in league before I come in here to do the show, and I'm 52 and fat and slow, but I still ball out and bang every night, and I'm like thinking, how could some pro athlete making all that money not want to play basketball every night? I just don't believe those kids don't want to play those summer league games. I think they do want to ball and run, don't you?
Absolutely, and out in Vegas, I think they love it. I think the thing that everybody has to keep in perspective is, though, if a guy dominates out there, it really doesn't mean anything because he's going up against, you know, other rookies or guys who won't be in the league this coming season. The mistake a lot of people make is going crazy when a guy puts up great numbers in the summer league. You have some players like the Celtics have with Jaylen Brown out there. He's been in playoff games before. So if he doesn't dominate in the summer league, you got a problem. So everything, you know, you just got to keep it in perspective, but it's good for the league. It keeps it on, you know, at the front of everybody's mind here, what's going on in Vegas. And we do get to see the next wave of great players.
So, Mitch, let's talk. I want to talk about the Knicks for a minute. Let's start with Griffin. What happened there? And once again, I guess it's Dolan, right? What happened to the deal?
Well, you know, the whole thing is, first of all, it looks like Steve Mills is the one who's going to be calling his shot.
Right.
So when David Griffin comes in for his interview, you know, he wants certain things. He wants to have full autonomy. He wants to be able to make the basketball decision. He is told no, he's not going to be able to do that. And he wants to bring in his own people. He's told he can't do that either. So he's not going to take that situation. Some guys are okay with that. But David Griffin didn't want to do that. And that's because the Knicks are run a certain way. And, you know, it looks like I said, Steve Mills, he went out and he signed Tim Hardaway Jr. to a ridiculous contract. I mean, 4 years at almost $18 million a year. You're talking $18 million a year. You're talking this guy could be a top three option on your team. He's been basically a reserve in the NBA. But Steve Mills is in charge, and he got the approval from Dolan. So Dolan's been running this thing, Scott, the same way for the better part of, 17, 18 years. They've gotten out of the first round only once. It's been a joke. It's been an embarrassment. And that's the way they do it. The only thing Dolan does really well, and you have to give him credit for, and I do write for Forbes after all, and Forbes is all about money. The valuation of the Knicks over the last, 4 years has gone from about $1.8 billion, with a B, to $3.3 billion, the number one team in the NBA. So he knows how to make money.
Yeah, and I was on the air today doing a show in East Lansing, Michigan, saying the same thing. Like, it doesn't matter how bad they are. They fill that place and make tons of money. They print money down there.
They sure do. And, you know, that's the thing is that they've turned it into – it's no longer about wins and losses, and it hasn't been for a long time. Dolan wants to win, but what he wants to do is he wants to keep that building sold out. The Garden, for anything, especially for the Knicks, though, it's an event. Who are the celebrities there? That's what people are always buzzing about. Who did you see last night at the Garden? What did you eat? What kind of beer did you drink? You know, the people who come in on the blue. And it's less about the winning. It's more about they've turned it into a whole marketing thing where the event is bigger than the outcome of the game itself. What happened to the Knicks? Did they win or lose? Well, you know, that's like down the line for them. So that's the shame of it is that they've got a great arena, you know, this Knick team that hasn't won in so long, 1973, and they just can't run the basketball operations the right way. I wish Dolan would take a lesson from the people in San Antonio or the people at Golden State to try to figure out how to get it done. He just doesn't want to do it.
What Mitch Lawrence with us, our good friend from NBA Radio, Forbes, and Sporting News. Why Why doesn't, like, okay, he loves Mills, and I know Steve, you know Steve, we all know Steve, he's a good guy, but since they're not going to give the power to anyone, why don't, I mean, it's obvious they're not going to let anyone have that autonomy, why not just let him run it?
Well, the thing about Steve Mills is you don't know what kind of a team he can build, if he can or can't. I mean, he's been around there, he's a survivor. He's been in the Garden all this time.
Right.
He's never really built a team, so you just don't know what he can do. I think what a lot of Knicks fans wanted was bringing a guy like David Griffin, who's had success in a very difficult situation for a difficult owner and Dan Gilbert. And, of course, you got LeBron James sitting there who, you know, puts a lot of pressure on management, as we know, and he did a very good job in Cleveland. I mean, it's obviously when you've got LeBron, you're way ahead of the game, but filling in the other players that he did with moves, David Griffin was fine. I think what Knicks fans wanted was you're bringing a president like that who's had some success and leave him alone, let him do the job and go from there. But Dolan doesn't trust these outsiders. He would only go with guys like, you know, he's got Steve Mills there. He's got Allen Houston there. These guys have not been part of winning situations. So from the outside, you're looking at like, well, how can they actually build a team if they've never done it before or been involved with winning? Building of winning franchises. They don't know anything about that.
Well, I think that's what's going to happen, to be honest with you. If they screwed this up, I think they're just going to end up going with him. He already did the Hardaway deal, so it's too late to stop that. And I got to tell you, at the end of the day, Mitch, that guy, I know $18 million, but look, in this day and age, a guy that was scoring less than him, Otto Porter at 13 a clip, he was scoring 14 and a half. They gave Porter $106 million. So isn't $71 million a steal?
You know what, though? Here's the thing. When you look at it and your cap is at $99 million, you're going to have two guys making maybe in an ideal situation, maybe in the 20s, and a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. is going to make 18. So you're going to have 70-plus million tied up there, and then you're going to fill in the rest. All I'm telling you is this. You talk to scouts, you watch Tim Hardaway Jr. play. Do you think he's a third option on a championship contender?
No.
No, definitely not. That's the way you're paying him. You're paying him. A guy like him should be making $10 to $12 million because ideally he would be a sixth, seventh, or eighth man. He's not a start. To me, he's not a starting player on a championship contender on a big-time playoff team.
Right. Mitch, I want to come back. We got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the Melo deal and a lot more in the NBA. So hang tight. We'll do a massive segment next with you toward the top of the hour.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
We're talking to Mitch Lawrence of Forbes Sporting News and, of course, NBA Radio on the Bench. So, Mitch, today, obviously, Hardaway talked a lot about coming back to the Knicks and that he wants Melo back with the Knicks. But what is the deal? Is it the Rockets? Is it the Cavs? Is it a third team involved? What is going to happen to Carmelo Anthony?
Well, he's either, you know, he could stay with the Knicks. We'll see if he does that because he's got this situation, Scott, with the family where he's separated from his wife. He wants to be close to his son. So we'll see if he decides on that. He still has the no trade. And he's shown no, now there's been reports that he'll waive it to go to Cleveland or he'll go to Houston. I don't see how he goes to Cleveland on a trade. I don't think they have the assets to make a deal with the Knicks. He could go to Cleveland, though, maybe on a buyout situation, which would be later on in the season to go out to join LeBron James. I've been saying for it seems like years now, that should be his number one move. Just get to wherever LeBron is because you're guaranteed to go into a finals, right, Knees? Now, in terms of Houston, the obvious deal there, the connection is Chris Paul, he's tight with, and Houston wants him apparently, even though he had problems with Mike D'Antoni and vice versa. When you were here in New York when Mike D'Antoni was here with Carmelo.
Right.
Carmelo basically drove him out. Carmelo doesn't want to be known as a coach killer, obviously, but okay. Here's the deal. Houston's going to have to find a third team to get involved because if they're going to match up salaries, which they have to do in a trade, they'd have to send the Knicks like a Ryan Anderson. Knicks are not interested in bringing in a Ryan Anderson who has 3 years left on his deal. So they're going to have to get another team involved. So there's the stumbling block to that. You know, never say never. You could see them making a trade, finding a third team. Houston obviously thinks big. They think big by bringing in Chris Paul. You know, here they have James Harden, an MVP type of candidate. They're going to pay him record salary, yet they brought in Chris Paul. Chris Paul's never played off the ball in his life, so he'll have the ball in his hands still. And the guy who was closest to being the MVP next to Russell Westbrook last year, he's going to have to obviously adjust. And could they bring in Carmelo? Yeah, that's a possibility. I don't know how it's going to shake out. I still am leaning towards him joining Cleveland more than seeing a trade to the Rockets.
He said, I was talking to a guy, said, you know, those three guys together, they don't, like, literally, he said they don't play defense. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? And then they would have no defense on that team. And do you believe the rumors today at all that Portland's involved with, like, Harkless and names like that?
To get Carmelo Anthony, or as the third
team? Yeah, as the third team.
Yeah, they're trying to. Yeah, Portland is trying to get rid of some bad contracts. So I could see them trying to get involved somehow to make some room because, you know, Damian Lillard, I reported around the draft, he went and told him in his exit interview, hey, I want to win here. I need better players. So I think D'Lo Shea would like to have a kind of a reset on some of the people he signed, you know, the Evan Turners of the world. I can see Portland getting involved. But, you know, whoever you talk to, they're absolutely right in terms of Houston. You put Carmelo Anthony on the floor with Chris Paul and James Harden, you're going to score, but you're going to give up a ton of points. So that's going to be a problem there. And look, Houston traded off Patrick Beverley, who's one of the better defenders out front, obviously, in the Chris Paul thing. So Houston still has some work to do. But they're one of those teams, they love their stars down in Houston. Daryl Morey's, he says he's got this, you know, his theory is it's like an arms race going on with Golden State. So that makes sense for him to get Carmelo Anthony from that standpoint. But look, Scott, we haven't talked about this yet. You know the biggest move of the offseason is Kevin Durant doing all he did to get his guys re-signed, bring back that core. Golden State looking like they're going to repeat.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and we'll talk about that in a second. Let me just ask you one last question about Houston.
Yeah.
Mitch Lawrence with us on the bench. So do you believe, when I saw that Harden deal, I was like, Jesus, $228 million.
No kidding.
Like, do you think that he'll live up to that?
No, I don't. He'll be making, you know, $46 million when he's 33 in the last year of his deal. He hasn't shown to me to be a very good leader so far. I don't know how you look at it, but what happened in Game 5 and Game 6 of that crazy San Antonio series, where in the last five quarters in overtime of those two games, he was awful. He was a total no-show in Game 6. He didn't even try to shoot the ball until, 18 minutes had gone by.
They quit.
First shot, and they're down 20.
They quit.
He never explained that. He quit. He was out to lunch. He checked out. He was there. Whatever the problem was, is that a guy who you want to be making a Supermax deal? I don't think so. He is a one. Look, we all know he's a record-setting player in terms of offensive stats and stuff like that. But in terms of impact in the game all around, he falls short of the real elite players. So, no, I looked at that contract and I said, well, that's the price of business you're doing now in this day and age in the NBA, but that's a little too rich for my blood for a guy like James Harden, as great as he is.
Yeah, I think that he ripped him off. I think that they're going to get burned on that deal in some capacity or another, not early, but late in that deal.
Well, here's the thing, though, Scott. You got to remember, Chris Paul was looking for the same type of deal from the Clippers. He would have been 38 years old making $46 million. At least James Harden will only be 33 years old making $46 million. 33, that's still, you know, you're not as he takes care of himself here over the next 6-7 years, he should still be an effective player. So I'll give them that. I mean, he's not going to be ancient. He shouldn't be broken down. We'll see. We'll see how his body reacts and everything. But just in terms of the scope of the deal, in terms of how he ended his season, that to me was the thing. That's the bad optics in this. We all know how James Harden just was awful at the end of the season. Like you said, he quit, right? And then to reward him off of that, and like I goes back to this, if I'm paying a guy that much, he's got to be a hell of a two-way player and a great leader. And James Harden, to me, is not that.
And Curry, you paid him that, and he wins you titles. He should have won three straight.
And he's a two-time MVP. I know he's not the world's greatest defender, but here's the deal with him. He is a transcendent offensive player. Man made 400 threes in a season. God, come on. I mean, he does things offensively that other people can't do. He's made Joe Lacob a lot of money. You go back to their first title year, Scott, in 2015. I think their total team salary was $75 million. You had two other teams in the West who were paying players more than Golden State. So he was in an unbelievable situation in terms of making his last contract was like 4 years, $44, $46 million. Now he definitely has earned, to me, he's earned that money. There's no way that Golden State could afford not to pay him. And they're going to have to ante up for Kevin Durant here in the next couple of years, too, with a Supermax deal. But they can afford it because they haven't been paying top dollar for salaries for a long time.
What did you think of Durant taking less money to get the rest of that team in check? And they even got Swaggy P.
Yeah, well, you know what? That shows you what kind of guy Durant is. I mean, he's the finals MVP. He definitely earned that. And then he knew that he was going to have to take less money. The surprise is he was only supposed to pay. He was supposed to take. He was due. He could have gotten $35 million. He was supposed to take about $30, $31. He ended up taking $25. He actually took a pay cut. He made $26.5 million last year. He's gone down to $25. That's because he knows the importance of bringing back guys like Iguodala, Sean Livingston. You mentioned Swaggy P. Remember, he took a page, to me, took a page out of Tim Duncan's playbook here. Remember Tim Duncan? For years in San Antonio, what did he do? He would not take top dollar. He would basically tell the Spurs, I'll take this much to make sure that we can re-sign people. He did the same exact thing to give himself a chance, Scott. Remember, he didn't win. Between 2007 and 2014, he didn't win any titles. Then in 2014, he won his fifth title, taking a lot less money. That's rare for superstars. Remember, a guy like Kobe Bryant, until the day he walked off the court, he insisted on getting top dollar. In some ways, that prevented the Lakers from signing other great players to team with him.
Do you? So Lonzo started with that 2-for-15 night. Then he had a triple-double.
Yeah. Now he's got the groin.
Yeah, he's not. He's not playing tonight. What do you think of his start? And what do you think of De'Aaron Fox's game?
Well, listen. Like I said at the top, I'm not reading a lot into these guys. I think it's great they're out there showing what they can do in summer league, but it is summer league, so we're not going to go crazy about it. These guys come in, Lonzo Ball and De'Aaron Fox, they're breaking in the most difficult position in the NBA. That it is a point guard league. I know Cleveland, you know, you don't have a conventional point guard, and Golden State Curry's not, but you look at all the point guards, especially in the West, that these guys have to play against, Chris Paul and Lillard and guys like that. I mean, there's no tougher position to break into, so it's great that you're playing in summer league. But, Scott, I'm going to reserve judgment on them until I see them starting in October, right after Halloween, when the games count and they're not going up against, you know, guys who aren't going to be in the league or players who they're obviously better than against right now.
So what do you think of the T-Wolves that they added, you know, Butler, and then they got Crawford now, and then you're looking at, I mean, Teague joined that team. And they're loaded.
Yeah, you know what? There's a mandate from ownership. You got to make the playoffs. You got to start winning. And the Jimmy Butler trade was a huge deal for him. He's been with Thibodeau. That's obvious. So he knows what Thibodeau wants. He's going to be able to translate that to Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, especially at the defensive end of the floor. Those guys have been atrocious. And right now, Scott, Karl Anthony Towns, I love him. He's been tremendous. But he and Wiggins have been losing players. They're like Kyrie Irving before LeBron showed up, right? They don't win, and they got to start winning. That's about their legacy. I know they've been tremendous players at college or whatever, but in terms of being professionals, they've been talented losers. So now it's time to flip the switch. They get them Jimmy Butler to help them out there. They're going to mature anyway, and they also get them Taj Gibson, and that's important because he's also going to be able to play defense and get them to buy into what Thibodeau wants to do. Now, Teague's the interesting one. In my research on this, finding out he was not their top choice. They really wanted Kyle Lowry. I don't think ownership wanted to pay the luxury tax. It would have cost Lowry, for them to get Lowry would have cost a lot more than Teague. They got Teague at about three years of what, $58 million. Lowry re-signed for about 33 plus, remember, a year with Toronto. So he's looking for a lot more money. And then they were also interested in George Hill, but I don't think that fit either situation. I don't think that fit rather either party, the T-Wolves or George Hill. He ended up in Sacramento. So they go for Jeff Teague, who to me is not a Thibodeau type of player because he's not defensively, he's very, very poor. But you've seen Thibodeau in the past when he had Derrick Rose, and he lost Derrick Rose for how many years out in Chicago to those major knee injuries. Thibodeau always got a lot of very good play out of his point guards. These guys used to come in, stopgap measure type of guys. So Teague's better than that, and I think he's going to help them considerably. And they have to make the playoffs, and I think they will.
So what about Mitch Lawrence with us? What about Riley getting basically worked over, and all he got back on that team was waiters?
I'm telling you, You know, Pat Riley to me is all about getting the big whale, the LeBrons of the world, and bringing in guys like Chris Bosh, as we saw back in 2010. They have assembled a lot of guys. I mean, the Kelly Olynyks of the world and the Deion Waiters and these other guys that they brought in. I'm not impressed. You can't be impressed. Where are the stars, Scott? Where are the stars? He's lost so much star power over there since 2014 with LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. This is, to me, I was told today by somebody, well, these are all tradable contracts. You can't parlay these guys into Russell Westbrook. I don't want to hear that. So I'm disappointed. I'm sure the Miami fans are too, because down there, Riley's all about winning, but you don't win in the NBA. He's got a great coach. Don't get me wrong, it's Spoelstra. And they'll be good. They'll make the playoffs in the East. The East is so bad. But where are the stars? He doesn't have any stars down there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Mitch, great stuff tonight, brother. Always love talking NBA rack with you. I'll catch up with you later.
Thanks for having me on, Scott. I'll talk to you.
As always, Mitch Lawrence from Forbes Sporting News and NBA Radio on the bench talking NBA rack.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.